Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This hour is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Of Arcus.
Yeah, stop, Todd Gurley. Yeah, we can talk all we want about Jared Goff, and obviously Brandon Cooks is having a really good year, and Robert Woods has become a very valuable receiver for them. But Todd Gurley is the key to that whole offensive machine. He can beat you on the ground. He can beat you through the air. And, you know, you're not going to shut him down, but you want to be able to limit him. And if you take away the big play from Todd Gurley, then you've got a really good chance to play with these guys, because the Rams defense hasn't been all that good this year.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, we're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Matt Miller of Bleacher Report will join us at 10 o'clock. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network and NFL.com at 10:40. The Midday Midway is at 11. DeMarco Farr at 11:40. And Hub Arkish belongs to you on this Thursday at noon.
It's a show.
312-644-6767. That is our phone number here at WSCR The Score. We have taken some interesting calls this week, haven't we? We look forward to,
yes,
to many more. It's been, shall we say, interesting in the way that the Chinese proverb says about interesting times. Those are our interesting calls. You can email us, Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You can text. You can sext to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Download it.
To stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us, too, on these cameras here.
Hello.
That is watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Brian Gertsch directs that video feed. The producer's Jay Zawoski.
Who made it so difficult to guard their thing?
Have you watched LeBron play before?
I mean, was there just a...
Jesus. He's LeBron James. That's what makes him difficult to guard. Anybody else?
Greg Popovich, not interested.
Asked and answered.
Yeah. Have you watched him play before?
LeBron James.
Yeah. What are you
anybody
asking?
Else?
Anybody else? What are you asking
anyone?
Me? On the board, Rick Camp.
Of the things associated in fans' minds when Mark Sanchez's name comes up, there are good things. There's also a certain fumble in the nationally televised game that...
I'm not following.
is that, did that bother you that comes up still to this day? Do you laugh about it as you just did?
Like I said, what are you going to do? I mean, it was a crappy play in a game where we're getting our butts kicked. You know, some low-hanging fruit, so that was an easy reach for you. I'm just kidding. Come on, you can give it to me. I can give it right back. Come on now. Thick skin in here, huh?
Mark Sanchez regarding the infamous butt fumble. He was smiling the whole time.
The entire time. Just rakishly handsome, smiling.
He's going to be one hell of a broadcaster.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he wants to?
I don't know. But that's your Tony Romo. That is your grab him right now.
Because
put him in a booth.
He loved the spotlight at USC. I mean, God, who wouldn't? You're a quarterback at USC in the mid-2000s. That's the place to be. But I
look, Matt Leinart's doing it. I mean, I think Sanchez could be even better.
Well, Matt Leinart's in the studio. Where is he doing games?
No, he's in the studio.
I've only ever seen him in the studio.
Wherever you want to put him. Wherever you want to put Mark Sanchez, we've heard him talk. We've heard the way he thinks about the game, with the stuff he has to say. I think he's just terrific. He can't really play, but
no,
it doesn't,
really.
Doesn't matter.
And he did recover a fumble with his butt, though, last week.
And
so that's
the fact is...
Now you're even.
It is, without a doubt, the best sports blooper of all time.
Better than going through the wall on a...
It is the... Yeah. It is the best sports blooper of all time.
We'll take your nominees to beat it over the
show.
During the course of the show, we will take your nominees to beat it.
But the guy who ran through the wall was in Vancouver, right? It was a White Sox prospect.
So.
I forgot his name, but he's
spacing on it too.
I know he has
because that's classic,
right? He has the same name as another professional athlete, right? He does.
Completely spacing on
the only reason I
just see him go into that, he's disappeared.
Right. He goes through the wall.
Through the wall.
It's Jose not, Canseco's up there too,
off his head. Sure, yeah, there's something. There's something elemental. There's something about the butt fumble, the way he falls down, that it's right out of Warner Brothers cartoons.
Non-injury category, no mascots. This is an on-field, in-play blooper.
It's everything that happens. The speed and violence with which he falls it's like SpongeBob. There's something that just it makes you a base level of hilarity.
I'm gonna watch it 7 or 8 times.
Yes,
here.
It is. It makes you laugh.
Okay.
Whatever the vibration in the universe is that entertains you and makes you laugh, it's still the best. In the back, doing what he does, the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz.
The number one team in the country, Gonzaga, stays undefeated thanks to Rui Hachimura.
Wow, what a day! The Inland Northwest, the children of the sun, shine powerfully and mightily here on a beautiful winter night. Shine on.
26 points for Rui Hachimura.
I'm surprised he didn't give us like a Land of the Rising Sun reference there with Hachimura.
He was getting there.
Wow.
He was getting there.
House of the Rising Sun with him. Who knows? This segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão. The holiday season is a special time for gathering, and Fogo de Chão in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville is the special place to do it. Enjoy indulgent cuts like filet mignon or lamb chops, all carved tableside and served with a helping of cherished memories. Reservations at Fogo.com. I have this challenge to the Chicago Bears as we get closer to the marquee game, what might end up being one of the first defining games of now that we know they're good and now that we have the expectations are raised to the point where we've always wanted them. Remember when Nagy took over and Nagy said that truly to get this offense where it would need to be, he needs multiple years, right?
Yes, 2 to 3, I believe, is how he termed it.
To have the people involved, to have it in their DNA, to have it operating on a level where everything is completely understood. Wouldn't this be a time to ask that process be accelerated noticeably?
I think it would be, I think as this season has gone, getting Mitch back, regardless of whether it's the Rams or not, this is a time to ask for an increased pace to that kind of take up of the offense. Yeah. I've been going on this for about 3 weeks now. This team is where it's at. It is now time. Like, the expectations are due to increase. The offense may be better in 2 to 3 years, but the fair ask is being good enough now. This is, I understand that it's a marquee matchup. I get that the Rams are on top. They're a terrific high-flying offense, and Aaron Donald is going to win himself Defensive Player of the Year and maybe even an MVP as a defensive player.
He's already won that.
That's pretty much all said, and he could win an MVP. Some of the shine is off this marquee matchup because you lost to the Giants. Just is. The opportunity you had there with a Saints loss was ginormous.
Yeah, it deflated the balloon a little bit.
It was huge.
Right?
Yeah. In the NFC, you had a chance to be a top 2 seed. In the you had a chance for a bye. You had a chance to just be at home for more of the playoffs. Some of the shine is off this marquee. And in order to grab it back, now you've got to back up whatever performance you're going to put up against the Rams with mandatory wins against the Packers and the Vikings. And then obviously that Niners thing has to be a W. I mean, you are looking at an opportunity here to beat the Rams, sure. But if you don't, which may not be a setback of epic proportions for where this team is headed this season, now you have to win out. That wasn't the case if you beat that Giants team. Wasn't the case if you beat that Dolphins team either. But I guess early on in Matt Nagy's coaching career, you can kind of forgive them one letdown game.
So we got a good plan in place. So we just need a great week of practice. And then just we got a lot of respect for those guys they got up front. We know we're going against a good defense this week. We know what their strengths are. And we just got to play our game, execute, and know where the playmakers are at all times.
That sounds like a plan from Mitchell Trubisky. I just think this would be, hey, what you got, Matt Nagy? What you got? I asked the same thing with the game's worth of tape on Chase Daniel, but now you got your guy back. The trigger man is there, and we know they practice all sorts of... I'm not asking for tricks. I don't think it's all comes down to your Oompa Loompa or your Willy Wonka or whatever the next name is, but there might be time to dial something up here, that you're going up against a master tactician in McVay.
You are, and I think maybe if it's... I think gadgetry could work because you've got Tariq Cohen. Did you read what Brad Biggs wrote up about Aaron Donald in the Trib this morning?
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying. I mean, you read paragraph after paragraph. It's just... over and over again, the things that make Aaron Donald terrifying.
You can double team him, but you can't really.
There is no escape.
And if you do...
There's no escape.
Yeah.
He's there over the right shoulder. No, it'd be the left shoulder of James Daniels, and he's just going to eat alive. And you can't double him with a running back that goes to chip up. You can't step up in the pocket because he's giant and huge, and he's coming from the inside. And sometimes they line him up outside where you could chip him with a tight end or something. But to Aaron Donald, the tight end is basically just me sneezing at you. It's no resistance whatsoever. So I wonder if some of that gadgetry, or even getting Mitch out left and right, you know, sprinting one way or the other to move a pocket, to move a launch point. I think Hub talked about that a little bit yesterday with us. Isn't something you do a little bit more often? And with all the, you know, how we've seen jet sweep and balloon, all this kind
of
stuff.
He's not watching that though.
Who's?
Aaron Donald isn't bothered by any of that eye candy.
Of course not. But that sort of action, and that sort of, if it's window dressing at times, but if it's actually option at other times, that moves stuff away from Aaron Donald. That moves the ball away from Aaron Donald up the middle of that pocket. And that's something that you may have to rely on. And Tariq Cohen has been a pretty good guy to use in that way.
You'd love to be able to incorporate running right at him too. It's back to the Brian Billick thing. Run at speed, run away from strength. He's got a little bit of both. You would love to be able to attack him both ways.
He ruins running backs. I mean, he sheds blocks and then takes down running backs with one arm. I don't want to see him with one or two arms go after Tariq Cohen at all, because we've seen him take hits. Cohen, and against bigger guys, it's gotten close to giving up the football a handful of times, and he has done it two or three.
I want to thank the texter from the 630 who reminded us the name of the White Sox farmhand that ran through the wall in that blooper. And I was right.
The name of another big leaguer?
It's the name of another Chicago professional athlete.
I just am not going to...
He's the other Rodney McRae.
No kidding.
Not the pear-shaped Rodney McRae who was on the Bulls, but the other Rodney McRae who had a cup of coffee with the White Sox a little bit later on in his career. But thank you for that. That's one of those guys on the list of pro athletes who have, like, the other guy named that. Remember the Dolphins running back Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
The other Adrian Peterson played for the Bears.
Correct.
Although I was just watching highlights of him. Where did he go? Grambling, I think it was. Somebody on Twitter had tweeted out a bunch of his highlights from Grambling, and he's running over. He looks like Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma.
How about the two Zach Millers that both played tight end?
That's right.
Right? And there was a confusion there. But that was one. That was the baseball version of Rodney McRae, and thank you very much for it. Did you hear Sean McVay when asked about the Bears?
I did.
It's really kind of cool because McVay is... He is apparently, and we've seen it before, it's almost like a parlor trick with him. He's a savant. I think we've played the audio before from, was it Real Sports? It was HBO Real Sports, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Do we have that? It's worth listening to again if you want to drag it out, where he remembers every play of every game.
And that's impressive. That would be, it's the eidetic memory, right?
Is that what that's called?
I think
is that
that's
Mary Lou Henner, like the where you literally remember everything?
I think so.
But I think it's specific to football with him. I don't know that he remembers every meal he's ever eaten.
He doesn't do like the Mind Palace thing where you walk through your brain and you put different memories in different places. That's a real actual technique to remember stuff.
Yeah, there's a tournament about that. Now there's one that we have where he was on the podcast with Sims and Lefko.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going, they had the play-by-play out there and they were quizzing him. So this is
week 12, Saints at Rams, 4:29 in the second quarter, second and 7 on the Saints 7. what happens?
Oh, Josh Reynolds touchdown, off-schedule play versus a three-man rush.
You're absolutely
are
right.
Are you kidding me?
You're unbelievable. Like now computer. We are going to go to, this is Sean McVay's time in Washington.
Oh, no.
So we're bringing it back to 2015, week 7, Bucks at Skins.
Yep.
2nd and 7 on the Tampa Bay 24, 58 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline, set up the first down, and then how did that drive end?
Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
And what meme was that game?
You like that.
Yep.
I mean, that's impressive.
I mean, come on.
That's impressive.
Now, he did the same thing, and it's the great thing for a reporter. If you're covering that team, he just, it's like you ask a question, and it triggers neurons in his head, and he just says stuff.
You're not going to get the, I have to go back and look at the tape.
No.
Kind of
he doesn't, because we know he doesn't have to look at the tape, and when he scouts an opponent, and you ask a question about the opponent, he just gives you what he thinks. So we'll listen to that after a brief timeout,
okay.
And you'll hear probably one of the best scouting reports you're going to get on your Chicago Bears, coming up on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We have, when he was in Washington and I was in Philadelphia, we crossed paths there, and then him coming up and obviously doing such an unbelievable job now the last couple of years, I'm happy for him, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think that he really is a great motivator. He's a teacher. And then he's creative in what he does, yet he's simple, and guys can play fast. And so I just think he's a really good coach.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy on his Sunday night counterpart, the wunderkind that is Sean McVay. We were marveling at his photographic football memory before the break.
Yeah, his ability to remember each and every play from years and years and years ago. And then the substitute, that's impressive. I'll give him that.
So when somebody asks him a question about an upcoming opponent, he's got thoughts.
What challenges is Jared going to face?
Yeah, this is an excellent defense. You know, you see why they're one of the top units in the league. You know, they're leading the league in takeaways, and they truly are takeaways. You know, they're forcing those interceptions, fumbles. They can get home with a four-man rush. They do a great job on the back end playing tight coverage, and Coach Fangio mixes up his coverage contours, and then he picks and chooses his spots to be able to activate some pressures and different personnel groupings. But, you know, I think when you look at their front, Hicks is doing an excellent job. Obviously, Khalil Mack is an outstanding player, and they do move him around a little bit. You know, he's moved around where he's sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right. Leonard Floyd is a player that's gotten a lot better. You know, really, you just look at a couple years ago when I was in Washington, we played them, and you can just feel his growth and maturation. Aaron Lynch is always a guy that's made a lot of plays. And then when you look at their second level, you feel their speed. You know, you see why Roquan Smith's a top 10 pick, got a great feel in coverage. He can blitz and finish. Trevathan's been doing it for a long time. And then on the back end, I think, you know, you see all those ball skills where guys are making picks. You know, you talk about, I want to say it's 21 interceptions they have as a defense. Kyle Fuller has 6 on his own. He's got great instincts. He can play with great vision on the quarterback, and he plays with great technique. Mukamura is a guy that you've always seen. Just going back to when I was in Washington, when he was in the division with the Giants, he's a very good physical player. Bryce Callahan's gotten better at the nickel spot. And then when you look at Eddie Jackson, the instincts, the range, he makes a lot of different plays, and Amos is a guy that's been doing it for a long time too. So great scheme. Coach Fangio does an excellent job. Coach Donatell on the back end, and you know, we got to be ready to go. And this is one of the best defenses in the league, and you see it show up on the tape.
Well, no one's going to top that.
Even down to the name of the secondary coach, there is one name he did not mention. What is the name he failed to mention?
Well, there's a name he didn't mention, and there is also a name he got wrong.
Well, Amukamara.
It's Amukamara, not Amukamara. We've gone through that. Eddie Goldman. He didn't mention Eddie Goldman.
He didn't mention Eddie Goldman.
Right. So he's just taking the old zero for granted,
yep.
I guess. I'm not impressed. Not impressed by Sean McVay going through the starting 10 of the 11 on the Bears defense. We've heard this guy go top to bottom, soup to nuts, yeah, on every play that he's run, mm-hmm, for his entire football career, and we're supposed to be impressed that he remembered 10 of 11 names?
Yeah, but he added in Bryce Callahan,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, for two anecdotes, Bryce Callahan's a starter, but for two guys, he just said they've been doing it a long time. And then for Floyd, it's got a lot better. I am not impressed by this.
Okay.
I have seen much more from Sean McVay.
I
demand more.
Rams defense, go.
Well, I'm looking at the depth chart, so that doesn't count.
Do you have the proper descriptions?
What's that?
have the
description? Yeah, Michael Brockers is a guy that's been doing it for a long time. Ndamukong Suh went to Nebraska. Aaron Donald is going to win an MVP. Dante Fowler is a guy that they spent a draft pick on, so obviously they've got some faith in him there. Samson Ebukam ruined a single football game all by himself. Matt Longacre spells his name L-O-N-G-A-C-R-E. Mark Barron is a human being. Corey Littleton plays football and does it well. Marcus Peters doesn't tackle. John Johnson has initials that are the same letter. LaMarcus Joyner is very tall, and Aqib Talib played on a Kansas team that won an Orange Bowl. That's the same level of depth that Sean McVay gave you for 10 of the 11.
She kind of did a little pencil flip there at the end of that.
And if you're counting Callahan as a starter, then it's 11 of 12.
No, you can only start 11 on defense.
But Callahan's the third corner, so...
No, he plays the fourth most snaps or fifth most snaps on the defense.
Right, but Rick is literally saying you can only count to 11. These go to 11, right? I mean, you can't have everybody out there, even though, yes, you can consider your nickel corner starter depending on the personnel. Well, it's not an argument. It's a fact.
No, I see the argument.
You ask?
It's not an argument. Yeah, I'm impressed. It impresses me. I'm impressed that a coach has the desire to be that complete.
Yes.
That's the point. It isn't that he's giving you proprietary information. It isn't that he's saying, ooh, wow, now I've learned about football. That's an NFL head coach. Instead of harumphing and grunting his way through, good team. But he wanted to talk about the Bears.
That's by
what I
far
find interesting.
A better thing about him and about a lot of the younger coaches that have come, even some of the old dogs who have learned a new trick like that, who have kind of opened up in some press conferences and in their availability to media. And it's not just because I'm happy that they're telling you and me and beat reporters this stuff, but fans get to do it too. The NFL could use this too. Some footage that they could throw out on Twitter and let go viral for a minute and a half. People love watching that crap.
The 847. Hope he remembers every play of the ass whooping he's about to get. Go Bears! Okay. Hey, if you can't be confident and excited about the Bears now and feeling like you want to be on the muscle and texting that so we can get back to Sean McVay, yeah, get all excited about your ass whooping you got coming.
It brings to mind Mr. Pouty Pants sent the text in a little earlier mentioning that he wants obviously the Bears to win, but I guess he's a Jared Goff fantasy owner. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Jared Goff splits Holman Road?
Not recently.
They're somewhat meaningful. The quarterback rating is split up by about 30 points or so. It's 124 at home and about 93 on the road. It's 18 touchdowns and 2 interceptions at home. It's 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on the road. And the average yards per attempt, 11 at home, under 8 on the road.
That's a significant difference.
I think it is. It's a pretty significant difference. You saw him struggle against the Raiders this last week as the Rams came off the bye. You've seen him struggle in a couple of games. I wonder if this doesn't come down to a Bears defense providing a little bit more pressure, some pressure of their own, and if some of that comes up the middle from Akeem Hicks, maybe that's how you disrupt Goff. Maybe that's how you make them rely on Todd Gurley, which isn't a great outcome altogether.
No.
But you'd try and make them one-dimensional. If that has to be Todd Gurley, then you have to suck it up and try and tackle.
I don't know why this is, but when I asked which name did Sean McVay not mention, several people texted in. He didn't say Akeem Hicks. Yes, he did. I think it's the very first guy he said.
I think he said Khalil Mack first.
No, I think he said Hicks.
He said Hicks first?
Okay. I believe the very first name he said is sort of the primacy recency effect here that nobody.
My memory is so bad that I can't remember Sean McVay remembering things. I don't remember who he said.
Yeah. Look, that means you're getting old.
I've always had a pretty bad, like, immediate short term kind of thing.
If you're at a social event and somebody comes up and introduces, hi, I'm Fleurn, uh-huh, and this is my wife, Glern.
I've learned and learned.
Right. Unless I do some kind of mnemonic and try to lock it in immediately, forget it.
I have a different problem there.
You're Chris or Tom or whatever the hell your name is. And it's not that I don't care. It's just for whatever reason, I can't lock it in.
See, I have a different issue. I, at those kind of events, stop listening.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. I just, hello, I'm Connor. And then they say their name, and I realize, oh, God, you just stopped listening.
Yes.
You turned off your ears. You weren't even trying to listen. Why do you do that every time? Okay, make sure you don't do it for his girlfriend. Don't do it now. Hi, I'm Connor. Nope. The ears turned off again.
Yep.
I wasn't even trying to listen.
We go to some of these like annual events, some of these charity galas and all that, and it makes my wife crazy because she says, "Oh, you know who's going to be at our table? Well, it's going to be Courtney and Phil." And I just kind of look at her like,
"Excellent,
yeah." Okay, but I'll remember. I was like, which is the one? Was she the one we were talking about high schools with? Because her son goes, and she, yes, that, okay, I got that. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember some substance.
Yes, I remember the conversation.
But none of the actual, yeah.
I just didn't remember the name of the person.
You have to get very adept at, you need a partner in this whole scheme, but you got to have the thing where if you're holding the drink, something like that, and you're doing the introductions, and it's your girlfriend's or your wife's first time meeting these people.
Right.
You introduce yourself. Oh, hey, I'm Connor. And then you just kind of, you take a sip of the drink real quickly there. And then you have girlfriend or your wife get in there for the, hi, I'm Nina. And what was your name or something like that? You just do that really quickly. And now you're out of it.
Yep.
Just a small sip of wine and you're good to go.
Yeah. Because my wife is such a stickler for etiquette in those, how that stuff. There's a way you introduce yourself, there's an order in which it's supposed to be done, and there's like male female stuff, and you don't offer to shake a woman's hand unless she offers her hand to you.
I am in violation of all of this.
Yeah, there's also
that's a thing.
Oh yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, she's big on that stuff at some of these events, but I do know people. These are friends of mine who are getting to the point in their lives where they have been thinking about running for public office, and they remember everybody's name. And they have cards. They have stuff. They have apps.
Like flashcards?
Yeah,
and stuff?
But like they have apps on their devices where they know before they go to an event, they know everybody's wife's name, kids' names, what colleges the kids are going to, what they're studying. I'm telling you that
I thought that was just a gig from the office.
No. I mean, people with actual. Either who actually care about other people
I can't be bothered to do that.
And or have political ambition, they'll sit for
have political ambition.
Right, or
that's not
either,
an and or thing.
Either actually
you
care,
can
about,
care
people,
about people
or
run for office. It's very, very rare you do the same thing.
No, he was showing me. He was showing me, like, look, this is what I do before a dinner event of this, and I will know this and I will
seems
know that.
It's exhausting.
That's the granular work, though, that is put in by people who actually care about that.
Does
kind of
he or she sit down and make the flashcards themselves?
Yes,
or they have,
that's
like,
part of the process.
Top men that do that.
No, that's
the writing it down would help.
It's like play by play. It's like when you talk to Doc Emmerich about his card, and the making of the card is what locks it all in for you.
That makes me hearing that makes me want Terry to run for office even more.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I don't know, buddy. Oh, what's your name? Oh, that man made a rash decision.
Hey, asswipe.
Right. Hey, idiot. Right. Well, you know what? It's worked for some in our current political climate.
Some.
So might as well do that. Matt Miller will talk football with us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.